Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1008. Alpha Males, Part 5, Lee Harvey Manafort, The Russiagate PSYOP, and the Underground Reich. Subtitled Habsburg Redux, Part 2. This is being recorded on May 22nd of the year 2018. Well, if you thought For the Record 1007 was tortuous, you're going to love this. I mean, you're really going to like 1008. It, as an observer slash analyst, taking a look at the popular coverage of, quote, Russiagate, unquote, which is flat out a psyop, it is a classic case of the truth of the forest being obscured by the many, many trees. The media are telling us that the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, they pronounce it Mueller, I pronounce it Mueller, for reasons I have explained in the past. They're talking about how he indicted this group or indicted that group, and he actually obtained a conviction. A guy, Alex von der Zwan, whom we will talk about, confessed to having lied. He confessed to perjury, and this is being presented as a great triumph, etc., etc. In fact, what Mueller is, quote, investigating, unquote, is not a Russian effort at interfering in U.S. politics. But what it is the cover-up of a covert operation in which Ukraine, formerly one of the most important of the republics of the former Soviet Union, has been won over to the Western camp. Paul Manafort, Trump's former campaign manager, is facing charges of having interfered with American politics on behalf of Russia. He, in fact, Paul Manafort, that is, gives every indication of being a U.S. intelligence officer. If one looks at his CV, and I look at this in For the Record 918 and 919, he worked for Jonas Savimbi and the UNITA, pro-Western guerrillas in Angola. He worked for Moses Tshombe. Most importantly, in my opinion, he worked for the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines when Ferdinand Marcos was being targeted for overthrow for not collaborating with the U.S. on the disposition of the Operation Golden Lily loot in the Philippines. Manafort is not a Russian agent. He is a U.S. agent. And in combination with Felix Sater, the U.S. intelligence operative, who was the point man for Trump's dealings with Russia, I think once again the fundamental intelligence connections of the Trump operation come into view. Paul Manafort was indeed Donald Trump's former campaign manager. He also was a consultant for Viktor Yanukovych, who for a time was president of Ukraine. Yanukovych was the head of state operating on behalf of what was known as the Party of Regions. He was, in fact, in terms of constituency, pro-Russian. We should stress that Ukraine, again, a former republic, arguably one of the most important republics of the former Soviet Union, was also at one point part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. We are going to come back to the Habsburgs in a big way in this program. The eastern part of Ukraine is inhabited by Russian, ethnic Russians who speak Russian. And not surprisingly for people who are ethnically Russian and who are Russophone, they speak Russian, they have an affinity for Russia. the Western Ukraine, or Galicia, was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and is the stomping ground, and I use that term absolutely advisory, of the OUNB fascists who allied with Nazi Germany during World War II. They then became a key part of the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, which we will speak about more later. The ABN was a key part of the former World Anti-Communist League, worked closely with the CIA. It is a consortium of Eastern European fascist groups that was put together by Adolf Hitler in 1943 as the Committee of Subjugated Nations. Its head for a long time was Yaroslav Stetsko, who was the head of Ukraine when it was a Nazi collaborationist state during World War II. Western Ukraine is Galicia. It is not Russian. It has a long historical relation with the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and it is the epicenter of the OUNB fascists who were in power when the Ukraine was a satellite state of Nazi Germany following the Nazi invasion of the former Soviet Union. And then the OUNB became a key part of the ABN, the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. The World Anti-Communist League worked very closely with the CIA, with the Gehlen Spy Organization, and the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the BNB, the German Intelligence Service. There are very strong links between the ABN and the Republican Party. So in terms of understanding Ukraine, understand that the eastern part is composed of ethnic Russians who speak Russian. It is that part of Ukraine that is now engaged or ranged on one side of the civil war with the rest of Ukraine. After the Maidan coup of February of 2014, the OUNB successor organizations were, briefly, they outlawed the speaking of the teaching of the Russian language in public schools. They were making all sorts of horrendous statements about Russians, threatening to kill Russians, actually making threats of invading Russia. And when the OUNB fascists came to power in the Ukraine, and when they began dealing very harshly, at least initially, with the ethnic Russians and the Russian speakers in the eastern part of Ukraine, they basically rebelled. Bearing in mind that dynamic between the Russophone, Russophile, ethnic Russian, eastern Ukraine, and the Galicia part of the western Ukraine that was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and that is the home turf, so to speak, of the OUNB, we're going to look at how that dynamic plays out in what is being represented as Russian interference with U.S. elections and is, in fact, nothing of the kind. I titled this program in part Lee Harvey Manafort because, like Lee Harvey Oswald, Paul Manafort is a U.S. intelligence officer of some kind. My guess would be probably CIA, although he might be State Department intelligence. And he was on a mission which was specifically engaged or focused on bringing Ukraine into the West's orbit. He has now been left out in the cold, rather like Lee Harvey Oswald. Oswald was a U.S. intelligence officer. He was infiltrated into the former Soviet Union, then repatriated to the U.S. after having supposedly committed treason against the U.S. by disclosing top-secret information about the U-2 spy plane, and was infiltrated into various leftist organizations, given a left-wing cover, although he was associating with anti-Castro Cubans, fiercely anti-Soviet and anti-communist white Russians, working for defense and CIA-connected businesses like the Riley Coffee Company and a map maker as well, the name of which escapes me off the top of my head. But he was involved with making maps for the U.S. Army, including for the U-2 project of the CIA. Before the alleged leftist Lee Harvey Oswald could defend himself, he was framed for the assassination of JFK and killed, making it appear as though the Russians slash Soviet Union slash communists and Cuba were involved as the primary authors of President Kennedy's assassination. In fact, it came from the U.S. right, the German right, the CIA, the ABN, and the BND as well. That is not unlike what we're seeing here, because organizations like the ABN, the OUNB, and the CIA and others figure in this particular concatenation. When Lee Harvey Oswald returned to the U.S., supposedly having committed treason against the United States, he was not seized by the FBI or the CIA or even debriefed. He was met by the Spas P. Rakin, the Secretary General of the American Friends of the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Stefan Bandera, the head of the OUNB, was assassinated on October 15th, 1959, supposedly by the KGB. It actually looks like it was BND. That was the same day that Oswald supposedly defected, unquote, to the former Soviet Union. Then the assassination of Bandera was linked in our propaganda to the killing of President Kennedy, and Oswald was associated with that alleged KGB assassination project. In a very similar fashion, Paul Manafort, a U.S. intelligence officer, having been charged with the assignment of bringing Ukraine from the Russian into the Western orbit, has now been left out in the cold and is basically sort of Lee Harvey Manafort. What we're going to be looking at in this program is what Manafort's effort really involved. He was involved with a group of European politicians who, not coincidentally, had been termed the Habsburg Group. The House of Habsburg is the ruling family of the old Austro-Hungarian Empire. They also have links, so the House of Habsburg does, with the House of Liechtenstein that we looked at in our last program. We are going to come back to the Alpha conglomerate in this program as well, some of whose most important subsidiaries were involved with Liechtenstein, people like Norbert Seeger of the Progressive Citizens Party, the ASOT Trust, and a subsidiary of the Crown Alpha Foundation linked to Mark Rich, and also to the Alpha Fellowship, a subsidiary element of the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft that sponsored Mohammed Atta's travels prior to the September 11th attacks. Now, Manafort was working, according to the indictment, with a group of European politicians who were dubbed the Habsburg Group and who were trying to bring Ukraine into the West's orbit. One of the focal points of the criminal activity is a report which basically clears Viktor Yanukovych, the head of the Party of Regions, a generally pro-Russian politician who was head of Ukraine. We should stress that Ukraine is a sewer. Ukraine is a failed state and is fundamentally corrupt with a capital F and a capital C. And that corruption goes across the anti-Russian politicians, the pro-Russian politicians, and all of their entities.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Yanukovych was profoundly corrupt. His finance minister, by the way, was none other than Petro Poroshenko, the current prime minister of Ukraine. But the Habsburg Group, which was involved with Paul Manafort, was trying to tease Ukraine from the Russian orbit into the West's orbit. Now, Manafort, who was, again, almost certainly a U.S. intelligence officer, I have dubbed him Lee Harvey Manafort because he is now being portrayed as a Russian agent, whereas he is a Western agent, most likely CIA. He was quite astute, realizing that the general anti-NATO sentiment in Ukraine, Viktor Yushchenko, whose Orange Revolution government we talked about in For the Record 781, was basically closely affiliated with the OUND, and many of the top people operating on behalf of Viktor Yushchenko are now operating under Petro Poroshenko and are part of the OUND successor organization Milieu in Ukraine. Viktor Yushchenko wanted to bring Ukraine into NATO. Most people in Ukraine, especially those who were in the eastern Ukraine, the ethnic Russians, though not exclusively, did not want to be part of NATO. They are smart enough to know that this would create problems for Ukraine, would place Ukraine at potentially warlike loggerheads with Russia. And again, that polling revealed that most Ukrainians were against having Ukraine become part of Russia, become part of NATO, excuse me. Manafort, whose mission was to get Ukraine into the Western orbit, was smart enough to realize that having an anti-NATO campaign would most likely facilitate Yanukovych's shepherding of Russia, of Ukraine rather, from the Russian into the Western orbit. That anti-NATO propaganda generated by Manafort slash Yanukovych has been portrayed as proof of Manafort's Russian affiliation. It was nothing of the kind. It was an attempt at basically making Yanukovych more popular so that Yanukovych, who in Manafort's estimation was the candidate most likely to succeed in getting Ukraine into the Western orbit without incurring the wrath of Putin and the Kremlin. Manafort was engaging in that in order not to work on behalf of Russia, but on behalf of the West. He was working with a group of politicians called the Habsburg Group. One of the things that Manafort was involved with was the generation of a report that basically exonerated the Yanukovych regime of any criminal wrongdoing in the jailing of former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Tymoshenko had, as her Minister of Justice in both of her terms, Roman Zvarych, who was the personal secretary in the early 1980s to Yaroslav Stetsko, the head of the OUND, the head of the ABN, and the wartime head of state for the Ukrainian collaborationist state that implemented Nazi genocide in Ukraine at the direction of the Third Reich. Roman Zvarych, again, the Minister of Justice, the equivalent of our Attorney General under both Tymoshenko governments. He also was the Minister of Justice under Viktor Yushchenko, who first proposed getting Russia into NATO, or getting Ukraine, rather, into NATO. And For the Record 781, we took a look at the profound links between Viktor Yushchenko and the OUND running to his wife. His wife, Ekaterina or Catherine Yushchenko, was the former Ekaterina Shumachenko, who was the deputy director of presidential liaison under Ronald Reagan and was a key functionary of the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, the top OUND front organization in the U.S. Now, again, Manafort was working with the Habsburg Group, a group of European politicians trying to ease Ukraine into the Western orbit. The report that was shown to them that basically exonerated Yanukovych of criminal wrongdoing in the jailing of Tymoshenko was intended not as a pro-Russian document, but rather to grease the wheels for the easing of Ukraine into the Western orbit. Not pro-Russian, anti-Russian, okay? Now, some key players. You're going to hear about Alex von der Zwan. Alex von der Zwan was part of a law firm, Skadden, Arp, Slate, Meager, and Flom, that was involved with the Habsburg Group and Paul Manafort, or Lee Harvey Manafort, as I have termed him. He confessed to perjuring himself in connection with the generation of this report, which exonerated Yanukovych of criminal wrongdoing in the jailing of Yulia Tymoshenko, which was anathema to the West. And one of the obstacles to Ukraine's integration into the West was the jailing of Yulia Tymoshenko by Viktor Yanukovych. The Manafort / von der Zwan effort and the report that was shown to members of the Habsburg group was aimed at basically facilitating the Ukrainian passage into the Western camp under Yanukovych, who probably correctly was seen by Paul Manafort as the most likely candidate to successfully shepherd Ukraine into the Western camp without drawing the ire of Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. Okay, this is complicated, I realize, but we're going to plunge right in. Another name here you're going to hear is that of Andrei Archimenko. He figures in this as well. Archimenko was a member of Pravi Sector, one of the OUNB successor organizations that came to power in Ukraine following the Maidan coup. He met with Michael Cohen and Felix Sager in January of 2017. Felix Sager is a U.S. intelligence operative who was the point man for Trump's dealings with Russia. That effort at achieving a ceasefire was not a pro-Russian effort at all, but it was an anti-Russian gambit intended to ramp up the nuclear power generating facilities in not only Ukraine, but other former Soviet republics, such as the Baltic states, in order to make it, to facilitate the easing of those republics into the Western camp by making them less dependent on the electrical grid that was operating or was operant from the former Soviet Union. With that as well, we're looking at what was an anti-Russian operation being spun as a pro-Russian operation. That would involve Felix Sager and Andrei Archimenko. Felix Sager, like Paul Manafort or Lee Harvey Manafort, as I have dubbed him, was a U.S. intelligence officer. Manafort is being left out in the cold. And all of this goes back to the Habsburg group. Confused? Well, it gets even more confusing. Alex von der Zwan, okay, who worked with the Habsburg group, is the son-in-law of one of the founders of the Alpha Bank, the Alpha conglomerate, and his father, a guy named Hermann, G-E-R-M-A-N Khan, K-H-A-N, is a native of Kiev in Ukraine. So let's plunge right in. From the New York Times of February 24th of 2018, by Stephen Erlanger, E-R-L-A-N-G-E-R, and Jason Horowitz, H-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z, European ex-officials denied being paid by Manafort to lobby for Ukraine. Former European leaders who tried to bring Ukraine closer to Europe before a 2014 uprising there reacted with shock on Saturday after a federal indictment accused Paul Manafort, President Trump's former campaign chairman, of secretly paying former European officials some 2 million euros in 2012 and 2013 to lobby on the country's behalf. Ukraine at the time was led by Viktor F. Yanukovych, who first agreed to closer ties to Europe and then reneged under Russian pressure and was toppled in the uprising. That's the Maidan uprising of February of 2014. Skipping down. A second Washington lobbying firm hired by Manafort, the Podesta Group, also said last year that it had, quote, arranged meetings and media opportunities, unquote, for visiting European leaders regarding Ukraine starting in 2012, including Mr. Gusenbauer, former head of Austria, Mr. Prodi of Italy, and two former presidents, Aleksander Kwasniewski of Poland and Viktor A. Yushchenko of Ukraine. Viktor Yushchenko, who came to power in the Orange Revolution, an OUNB associate. Continuing. Mr. Manafort did not inform the Washington lobbyists with whom they worked that the European politicians were being paid for their efforts, according to people familiar with the work being done by the two firms, who said the lobbyists had presented the European politicians as unbiased validators of Mr. Yanukovych's efforts. The group of senior former politicians, according to the indictment, was informally called the Habsburg Group after the Austro-Hungarian dynasty, the Habsburgs. The plan, according to the indictment, was for the group to, quote, appear to be providing their independent assessments of government of Ukraine actions, when in fact they were paid lobbyists for Ukraine. What they were doing was trying to get Ukraine into the Western orbit, as we will see. The actual Habsburg heirs were deeply involved with Ukraine and with European integration in particular. Washington Post, February 20th of 2018, article by Spencer S. Hsu, HSU, and Rosalind S. Helderman, H-E-L-D-E-R-M-A-N. In Mueller probe, son-in-law of Russian businessman pleads guilty to false statements. The Dutch son-in-law of one of Russia's wealthiest men pleaded guilty Tuesday in federal court in Washington to making false statements in special counsel Robert S. Mueller III's probe of Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Alex van der Zwan, V-A-N-D-E-R, capital Z, W-A-A-N, was charged with lying to the FBI about his contacts with Rick Gates, who served as a top official on President Trump's campaign and a longtime business partner of former campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Based in London, van der Zwan worked for the law firm Skadden, S-K-A-B-B-E-N, ARPS, A-R-P-S, Slate, capital S-L-A-T-E, Mayer or Mager, Mager, M-E-A-G-H-E-R, and FLOM, F-L-O-M, which worked with Manafort and Gates when they served as political consultants in Ukraine. Van der Zwan is the son-in-law of Hermann, G-E-R-M-A-N, Khan, K-H-A-N, a billionaire and an owner of Alpha Group, Russia's largest financial and industrial investment group. Skipping down. Like the Manafort and Gates charges, van der Zwan's case is rooted in Ukraine, where Manafort worked as an international political consultant starting in 2005. The subject of the 2016 recorded phone call, prosecutors said, was a 2012 report prepared by van der Zwan's law firm about the jailing of former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Yanukovych had imprisoned Tymoshenko, a political rival, after a gas supply controversy in 2009 involving Russia. The Skadden report has been controversial in Ukraine, in part because its findings seem to contradict the international community's conclusion that Tymoshenko had been unjustly jailed. In addition, the Ukrainian government claimed to have paid only $12,000 for the report, an amount that put it just below the limit that would have required competitive bidding for the project under Ukrainian law. Prosecutors have alleged that Manafort and Gates used an offshore account to secretly pay $4 million for the report. Weissman said Tuesday that Manafort and Gates hoped to get the Times to cover the report before its contents were revealed in Europe, potentially to improve the reputation of Yanukovych in the U.S., where his image had taken a hit after the jailing of Tymoshenko. As part of that lobbying effort, Weissman said van der Zwan had taken an advanced copy of the report in 2012 without authorization and provided it to a public relations team then providing Gates with talking points about it. Kahn, von der Zwan's father-in-law, and I would add parenthetically one of the founders of Alpha Group and a billionaire, is a native of Kiev, Ukraine. Recall that the Alpha Fellowship is a subsidiary of the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft. Late in the 2016 campaign, a computer associated with the Alpha Bank was communicating with a server associated with the Trump campaign. And also a long dormant FBI Twitter account was associated with the investigation into Mark Rich, who was going to sell his commodities business to the Crown Alpha subsidiary of Alpha Foundation, of the Alpha conglomerate, rather. That came alive and began sending out tweets. The special investigator for the, or I shouldn't say special, but the investigator of the Mark Rich pardon was James Comey, who in 2016 was head of the FBI.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Now, more about Lee Harvey Manafort and his efforts, not on behalf of Russia, but on behalf of easing Ukraine into the Western orbit, which Manafort astutely felt would be best accomplished under the Yanukovych government, and which Manafort correctly and astutely perceived would best be accomplished without attempting to incorporate Ukraine into NATO, which would raise the hackles not only of the Russian, ethnic Russians in the East, but other Ukrainians as well, who just wouldn't be that big on the idea of having Ukraine on the front line of a Third World War shooting breakout with Russia. Basically, that would have been an old joke. What is 2 feet deep and glows in the dark? A NATO participant Ukraine after the outbreak of World War III. They knew that, and that's why they didn't want Ukraine into NATO. The eastern part didn't want Ukraine into NATO because they were associated with Russia. They were ethnic Russians who spoke Russian. Now, more about Manafort's anti-Russian effort on behalf of the West to ease Ukraine into the Western orbit. From the McClatchy, D.C. papers of November 27th, 2017, exclusive, Manafort flight records show deeper Kremlin ties than previously known by Peter Stone and Greg Gordon. Skipping down. You can make a case that all along he was either working principally from Moscow or he was trying to play both sides against each other just to maximize his profits, unquote, said Daniel Fried, a former assistant secretary of state who communicated with Manafort during Yanukovych's reign in President George W. Bush's second term. He's at best got a conflict of interest and at worst is really doing Putin's bidding, said Fried, now a fellow with the Atlantic Council. The Atlantic Council is one of the most right-wing organizations that has been beating the war drums against Russia and with very strong links to the OUNB milieu with the International Ukrainian Congress. A fellow named Dmitry Alperovich as one of the cyber, quote, experts, unquote, who was providing the, quote, information, unquote, about Russia having hacked our elections. The Atlantic Council, pro-OUNB, as far to the right as you get. Skipping down. Another Manafort trip that could interest investigators took place in July of 2013 when Manafort and Klimnik flew from eastern Ukraine to Frankfurt on a private plane owned by Belbek Avia, according to flight records. The aircraft company's founders included the father of Andrei Archimenko, a Ukrainian legislator. Andrei Archimenko was a member of Pravi Sektor. He was working with U.S. intelligence operative and Trump point man for Russia business, Felix Sater, and Trump attorney Michael Cohen, in what has been represented again as a pro-Russian conspiracy. It was an anti-Russian conspiracy, the idea being to revamp the nuclear power, electrical generating capacity of Ukraine and other former Soviet republics in order to further wean them from the Soviet-era electrical grid, which kept them to a certain extent in the Russian orbit. It was an anti-Russian gambit, not a pro-Russian gambit. Skipping down. Manafort, 68, had claimed Yanukovych was the one Ukrainian who could lead his country closer to the West at a pace Putin could stand, according to Dan Fried, a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for the region, which includes Ukraine, but that proved false. Manafort's guy turned out to be not the guy Manafort said he was, Fried said. Either Manafort was unable to deliver the guy, or he was spinning us and had no intention of doing anything but collecting his very large fees, unquote. This, again, from a guy who was one of George Bush's State Department officials and is now with the pro-OUNB rabid right-wing Atlantic Council. Jason Maloney, a Manafort spokesman, denied that his work helped Russia, he said. Although Mr. Manafort's focus was always domestic Ukrainian politics, that work did make a difference and helped move the Ukraine towards a Western orbit and further from a Russian orbit. Skipping down. The idea of working in Ukraine first came to Manafort in 2004 from Oleg Deripaska, a Russian billionaire who controls aluminum producer Rusal, R-U-S-A-L, according to a person familiar with the situation. Ukraine was in the throes of the Orange Revolution, protests over allegations of electoral fraud in Yanukovych's November 2004 victory, and parenthetically, one of the color revolutions which brought many of the OUNB successor organizations that we have seen in the Maidan situation to power. The Orange Revolution was really could be thought of as Maidan 1. Continuing, the Ukrainian Supreme Court ordered a new election. Manafort's then-partner Rick Davis went to Kiev and concluded it was too late to help. Yanukovych's pro-Western rival Viktor Yushchenko won. Skipping down. Here is the foundation of what Manafort was doing. Crucial to the strategy and new to Ukraine was research from focus groups and better polling to drive messaging. Among the issues, the rights of Russian speakers and opposition to Ukraine's joining NATO. Quote, he was going for visceral issues and an emotional reaction, unquote, says Katerina Yushchenko, the American-born wife of former President Viktor Yushchenko and a one-time State Department and White House official. And I would add a top official with the Ukrainian Congress of America, the top OUNB front organization in the U.S. When I confronted his people about it, they said, quote, that's politics. I said, this isn't like gun rights or abortion. Here it could lead to war. In 2008, then-President Yushchenko announced a campaign for eventual Ukrainian membership in NATO. To exploit widespread opposition to NATO, Manafort's team brought a truck to the parliament filled with anti-NATO balloons and instructed parliamentarians to each take one into the chamber. Ukraine's hope of joining NATO ended with its 2010 presidential election. With Manafort guiding him, Yanukovych won, narrowly. Skipping down. Within months of his victory, Yanukovych ordered criminal investigations into Tymoshenko, culminating in a sentence of 7 years in jail. Condemned around the world, her prosecution would become a flashpoint in negotiations between Ukraine and the European Union on an association agreement. Manafort was closely involved in recruiting the firm of Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meager and Flom LLC on behalf of the Ukrainian Justice Ministry to write a lengthy report on Tymoshenko's prosecution. Skipping down. Prosecutors believe Manafort drew up a 6-page media strategy plan with the FBI consulting on how to use the Skadden report based on documents they have examined. The report, released at the end of 2012, criticized some aspects of the case but concluded that the evidence supported her conviction and that her due process rights hadn't been violated. Skipping down again. Manafort advised Yanukovych to push ahead with an association agreement with the EU. But the EU insisted he release Tymoshenko, while Putin pressured him to abandon the deal. In November of 2013, Yanukovych terminated negotiations with the EU. The move triggered widespread protests. That was the Maidan. Thousands camped out on Kiev's Independence Square. More than 100 were killed in 2014, right before Yanukovych fled to Moscow. Ukrainian prosecutors are investigating who's responsible and have combed through hacked text messages from Manafort's daughter Andrea about her father's role in cracking down on the uprising. Her texts say their money is, quote, blood money, unquote. Andrea Manafort didn't respond to requests for comment. What we have looked at in For the Record 981, 982, and 993, among others, is the very real possibility that when Plan A, which was to ease Ukraine into the West's orbit, failed, basically the EU association deal would have implemented drastic austerity in Ukraine, which was not popular, and basically Putin put the whammy on that. When that failed, they went to Plan B, or really Plan O-U-N-B, which was the Maidan coup. It was the sniper shootings in the Maidan turmoil that may have been organized by Manafort that led to the ouster of Yanukovych. Recall that the captain of the Maidan, as he has been dubbed, was Andrei Parubiy, part of the OUNB successor organization, Milieu, in Ukraine, and the current speaker of the Ukrainian parliament. Now, after the Trump administration sent Ukraine some missiles, Ukraine began halting their cooperation with the Mueller investigation. I'm just going to sum this up, because we're running low on time, and we've got a lot to get to. New York Times, May 2nd of 2018, Ukraine, seeking U.S. missiles, halted cooperation with Mueller investigation, by Andrew E. Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R. In the U.S., Paul J. Manafort is facing prosecution on charges of money laundering and financial fraud stemming from his decade of work for a pro-Russian political party in Ukraine. But in Ukraine, where officials are wary of offending President Trump, four meandering cases that involve Mr. Manafort, Mr. Trump's former campaign chairman, have been effectively frozen by Ukraine's chief prosecutor. Basically, that puts Ukraine's government in the driver's seat. If they don't cooperate with this, then the investigation will peter out. It basically, although people assume that Trump is in the driver's seat, it is actually Ukraine, because the OUNB successor organizations in the Ukrainian government have effective control, at least to a certain extent, over the political fate of Donald Trump, because if they don't cooperate with Mueller, then not much can happen. Now, a lot of this program is referential. It is really complicated. Alpha Bank figures in here. We looked at that in For the Record 930. When a server with Alpha Bank began communicating with a Trump campaign server, notice that Alex von der Schwan was working with the law firm that was working with the Habsburg Group to ease Ukraine from the Russian orbit into the West's orbit. Alex von der Schwan is the son-in-law of one of the founders of Alpha Bank, who is a native of Kiev, Ukraine. That is part of Galicia, part of Western Ukraine, which is the stomping ground of the OUNB, and was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Now, back to the Habsburgs, remembering all the links we spoke about in For the Record 1007 between Liechtenstein, the Aesop Trust, a Bank Alpaca subsidiary, and the House of Habsburg, bearing in mind also the Alpha Fellowship, the Alpha Bank subsidiary, Crown Alpha, its links to Norbert Seeger and to Norbert Seeger, who gave Prince Hans Adam of Liechtenstein absolute power over the court system of Liechtenstein in 2001, where he could interdict any investigation into the bank Alpaca, which was incorporated in Liechtenstein, and one of whose subsidiaries, the Aesop Trust, had involved a member of the Liechtenstein royal family at one point as a director, and also was linked to the House of Liechtenstein's family bank.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
The House of Liechtenstein is a subsidiary element of the House of Habsburg. In the past, we have looked at Karl von Habsburg. He was married to Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza, the heiress, or one of the heirs, to the Thyssen Industrial Empire, a key element of the Bormann capital networks, about which we've spoken so often. The Bush family, arguably the most important American connection of the Thyssen interests. Karl von Habsburg was married to Francesca in the Zagreb Cathedral in Croatia, and Karl von Habsburg was also the founder of the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, which, along with Otto von Habsburg, the last emperor of the House of Habsburg, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, was very active in the former Yugoslavia to break it up and bring it into the Western orbit, rather like the Habsburg group was doing with Ukraine. Bear in mind that the denials on the part of the various participants in the Habsburg group really are pro forma. A, they could be indicted and convicted. B, more importantly, in my estimation, they were involved in the covert operation, and if that were to come to light, they might face much worse than just indictment. They could be terminated to eliminate any possibility of their spilling the beans. So bear in mind that Lee Harvey Manafort's real efforts were not pro-Russian on behalf of Ukraine, but were anti-Russian, but he was using a more nuanced approach to ease Ukraine from the Russian sphere of influence into the Western sphere of influence, and doing so with the assistance of the Habsburg group. What we're going to look at now is the actual participation of members of the Habsburg family in promoting European integration. The effort on the part of Lee Harvey Manafort and the Habsburg group was on integrating Ukraine, the western part of which had been part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, into the EU. We're going to take a look at their efforts on behalf of Georgia, Hungary, and Ukraine itself. First off, from the London Independent of December 23rd of 1996, more than basically 22 years ago, by Adrian Bridge, descendants of last Habsburg emperor climb ladder to power. Hungary looks to its empire of the past for a new beginning. In what must rank as one of the most unlikely political comebacks of the century, the descendants of the last Habsburg emperor are once again making their mark in the central European territories that their family ruled for 600 years. Not surprisingly, the comeback revolves around the cities of Vienna and Budapest, the twin centers of power in the latter years of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which at its peak stretched from the Adriatic to what is now Ukraine. The most striking example of the trend is the appointment this week of Georg von Habsburg, the 32-year-old grandson of Emperor Karl I, to the position of Hungary's ambassador for European integration. It is European integration of Ukraine, on behalf of which the Habsburg group that was coordinating with Lee Harvey Manafort was working. Continuing. In neighboring Austria, the traditional heart of Habsburg power, Georg's brother Karl von Habsburg, 35, was recently elected to represent the country in the European Parliament. In addition to this, he serves as the president of the Austrian branch of the Pan-European Movement. Again, integration of various European states into the EU. That was what the Habsburg Group and Lee Harvey Manafort were working for. Skipping down. Otto von Habsburg, 83, himself a keen advocate of the Hungarian cause, has long since renounced any claim to his father's throne. But the same is not true of all the members of the family. Before his election to the European Parliament in October, Georg von Habsburg's older brother Karl refused to be drawn when he was quizzed on the issue. When he was asked if he believed the Habsburg monarchy could return, his circumspect reply was, "Never say never again." More about members of the Habsburg and European integration, this involving Georgia. The former president of Georgia, Mikhail Saakashvili, became governor of the Ukrainian province of Odessa for a period of time. The Princess and the Bear, from The Economist of February 18th of 2010. Georgia struggles to make its case in Germany, which sees trade ties with Russia as vital and the ex-Soviet Caucasian Republic of Georgia as troublesome. So who better to burnish Georgia's image there than a German-educated Habsburg? Georgia's new ambassador to Berlin, once she presents her credentials to the president next month, will be Gabriella Maria Charlotte Felicitas Elizabeth Antonia von Habsburg-Lothringen, Princess Imperial and Archduchess of Austria, Princess Royal of Hungary and Bohemia. A name like that, says Georgia's President Mikhail Saakashvili, who, by the way, became head governor of the Ukrainian province of Odessa, should open doors. Skipping down. The heirs to the Habsburg emperors helped speed the downfall of the Soviet Empire, particularly by arranging the cross-border exodus from Hungary to Austria in the summer of 1989 that punched the first big hole in the Iron Curtain. Among Ms. von Habsburg's six siblings, her younger sister, Walburga, is a leading conservative politician in Sweden. Her brother, Georg, is an ambassador-at-large for Hungary. Another used to be in the European Parliament. Now, jumping to the Kiev Post of April 20th of 2010, Karl von Habsburg of the UNPO, married for a time to Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza, was active in Kiev, or in Lvov, the part of the western Ukraine, in 2010. Karl von Habsburg keeps ancestors' profile alive in Lvov by Natalia A. Fedushak, F-E-D-U-S-C-H-A-K. Karl von Habsburg laughed heartily when asked what it feels like to walk the streets of Lvov, a city that was once ruled by his ancestors. Quote, "I look at it from an academic point of view," he said with a smile. "It had nothing to do with me," unquote. Despite his easy manner, however, Habsburg evidently has no intention of letting the past, particularly his ancestors' role, remain lifeless in history books. Nearly a century after the Habsburg monarchy's rule ended in Europe, he is dedicating himself to ensure that its legacy lives on in western Ukraine. The 49-year-old von Habsburg was in Lvov in March to announce the creation of a foundation that carries his family's name. Based in Ivano Frankivsk, F-R-A-N-K-I-V-S-K, the Habsburg Foundation will promote and preserve the cultural legacy that for centuries shaped and gave Central and Eastern Europe its identity. Quote, skipping down. In this area, we need to do something about keeping the heritage alive, the history, and the intellectual history. Authors came here because they got their inspiration here, he told the Kiev Post in an interview. At the turn of the 20th century, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which gave Central and Eastern Europe much of its art, culture, and architecture, spanned from Ukraine's Carpathian Mountains down to the Adriatic Sea in the south. It encompassed more than 12 European peoples, and its monarchy, the Habsburgs, had enjoyed over 600 years of uninterrupted power. A recent book by renowned historian Timothy Snyder chronicles the life of Wilhelm von Habsburg, the member of the Habsburg family who was most closely aligned with Ukrainians. Published the Red Prince, it brought renewed attention to the family's connections with Western Ukraine. Skipping down. Wilhelm had his own goal. He wanted to establish a monarchy on the territory of what is today's Western Ukraine. Snyder writes that the idea was well received, particularly among some Ukrainian military leaders and the church. A military officer by training, Wilhelm supported Ukraine's independence struggle during World War I. He fought with Ukrainian troops against the Russians and had schemed and controlled a myriad of politicians to support his monarchical aspirations. Almost until his death at the hands of the Soviets in 1948, parenthetically after World War II, he was snatched off the streets of Vienna and transported to a prison in Kiev for working as an agent against the Soviet Union. It then talks about the Renaissance in Western Ukraine dealing with things Habsburg. And from the Euractiv blog of January 22nd of 2015, after the Maidan coup, Karl von Habsburg gets very active with a European radio station in Ukraine. Since January 20th, a truly European radio station is broadcasting in Ukraine. Its main sponsor, Karl Habsburg Lothringen, told Euractiv in an exclusive interview. Karl Habsburg Lothringen is an Austrian politician and head of the House of Habsburg. Since 1986, he has served as president of the Austrian branch of the Pan-European Union. He spoke to senior editor Georgi Gotev, and it talks about how this radio station that was basically stewarded by Karl Habsburg, the head of the House of Habsburg, is providing a pro-European voice in Ukraine. Again, the Habsburgs deeply involved with European integration. That is what the Habsburg group was doing in connection with Lee Harvey Manafort, not working on behalf of Russia, not working for Russia, but working against Russia by working with Viktor Yanukovych, the pro-Russian, at least in terms of affiliation, head of Ukraine, to ease Ukraine from the Russian into the Western orbit. That was unsuccessful. At that point, they went to Plan B, which really was Plan O-U-N-B. What we're going to look at next, and concluding this program, is something called the Freedom Council. The European Freedom Council was co-chaired or co-founded by Otto von Habsburg and Yaroslav Stetsko, the wartime head of the Ukrainian Nazi satellite state who implemented Nazi ethnic cleansing in Ukraine, who then became head of the ABN, head of the OUNB, the head of the ABN, and whose personal secretary, Roman Svarych, was the justice minister of Ukraine, the equivalent of attorney general, under Viktor Yushchenko of the Orange Revolution, and both Tymoshenko governments, and who is now the spokesperson for the Nazi Azov Battalion and an advisor to Petro Poroshenko. From the op-ed news of August 1st of 2014, Ukraine. Why Bandera, that's collective, have the largest geopolitical voice in the EU, by George Eliasson. The Habsburgs and the Bandera in the 1960s and 1970s. The Habsburg monarchy helped guide the leadership in their former possessions. The Freedom Council was formed by Otto von Habsburg and Yaroslav Stetsko at the conference in Munich on June 30th through July 2nd of 1967 as a coordinating body for organizations fighting communism in Europe. His Emperor, Royal Highness Otto von Habsburg, was honorary chairman of the European Freedom Council based in Europe during the 1980s and aligned to the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, or ABN. And the part of the article goes on to talk about the coordination between the European Freedom Council of Otto von Habsburg and Yaroslav Stetsko with the ABN. Otto von Habsburg, by the way, head of the Free Rudolf Hess Committee, giving us an idea what his concept of freedom was all about. He also was very active in promoting the secession of Croatia from the former Yugoslavia, which helped lead to not only the breakup of Yugoslavia, but the bloody civil wars there. So again, when the Habsburg group and Lee Harvey Manafort failed to tease Ukraine from the Russian orbit into the Western orbit, that was Plan A. Then came Plan B, or Plan O-U-N-B, and as we can see, the Habsburgs and Otto von Habsburg, close connections to the ABN and O-U-N-B milieu with Yaroslav Stetsko. I'll sum this up as best I can in the next program. The written descriptions for this these programs will be available and hopefully will clarify things for you. This concludes For the Record program number 1008, Alpha Males Part 5, Lee Harvey Manafort, the Russiagate PSYOP and the Underground Reich, Habsburg Redux Part 2, being recorded on May 22nd of the year 2018. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.